Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. Been waiting so long to say this. I'm Dave Schmolenson, a.k.a. The Schmo, and we are actually in what I like to call the Schmo Zone. My co-host is...
Helen Yee Sports. First time rolling into set, and it looks great.
Well...
You did the final touches, so... I have to let everybody know.
It's only taken us a few months to build this. We're building a production studio. This is the Schmo Zone in the production studio. And I'm stoked that we have this. It's taken a few months. I appreciate everybody's patience, but we are rolling. We are back in action and a lot of good stuff to come. And it starts today. And before I get to today's guests, I just want to let all of you know that today's episode is brought to you by Fusion CBD Products. Amazing CBD products. We're going to be sipping on our Fusion CBD water. Use the promo code SCHMO, get 20% off. They have their tinctures. They have their rubs. I love the hot, the cold that I put right onto my joints after a nice workout like we did today. Check them out. Use the promo code SCHMO, and let's get right into today's guest. You know, this is episode 62. He will be the man at UFC 262. He's the number one UFC flyweight, the assassin, baby, Brandon Moreno.
Hey, guys, you look so excited, and now I feel so excited, too, for this new place, guys. Congrats. Congrats for this new place.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. It was his vision.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's teamwork makes the dream work.
I just painted the walls.
Nice. It's a good work.
Yeah. Appreciate that. We will be having the number 8 UFC heavyweight, our buddy, Walt Harris, the big ticket, joining us shortly. He's just finished up some practice at Extreme Couture.
Yep.
But he'll be making his way in. But I'm glad we could just start with you, the assassin, baby.
Guys, thank you. Nice to be here again with you. And let's talk about everything, you know, about life.
Let's talk about life. I mean, we'll get right into your fight and everything, too. But let's just start with maybe some boxing. Canelo Alvarez, Billy Joe Saunders. I know you're watching that fight. Man, what'd you make of that? Canelo.
Man, Canelo is a monster right now. He's another different human being in boxing, you know. It's weird because in Mexico, sometimes the crowd is very bad with him. But for example, I can see the people here in the United States or in other countries, they love Canelo. And I love too because he's a really hard worker. And that is an inspiration for me, you know. And it's amazing because he looks everything very easy, like nothing, you know, like Billy Joe Saunders, like an undefeated guy, 30-0, and looks that kind of fight, working in the body, then with the uppercut, broke his, I don't know what he says.
The orbital.
Orbital bone.
Man, what a monster is that guy.
Would you say he's by far the most popular athlete in Mexico, like the Michael Jordan of Mexico's athletes?
No.
give me that list.
Because it's about the styles, you know. The Mexicans had the styles like Julio César Chávez, like Juan Manuel Márquez, those guys who went to the war, you know, to a really hard war with the opponents. their opponents. But Canelo is another kind of a boxer, you know. He's a very technical guy with better head movement, with amazing footwork, you know. So the people maybe don't connect too much with him because that, you know, because they want to watch a war like the old Mexicans, you know. Again, like Chavez, like Marquez, like Terrible Morales. But Canelo's different, and right now it's like a 50-50. Like, a lot of people love Canelo, and a lot of people hate Canelo.
Interesting.
That is interesting. Well, what do you think should be next? Because everybody's kind of talking about Caleb Plant.
Like a fan, I want to see that fight.
It has to be. It's the only belt he doesn't have, the IBF belt. You know, he already took Billy Joe Saunders. I think he had the WBO. The IBF's the only one left for Canelo.
I mean, I don't know too much about boxing.
Too many belts. Too many belts.
I know, it's too much.
A lot to memorize.
But he needs just one more belt. This guy, Caleb Plant. And I'm like a fan, I want to watch that fight.
We play the game coulda, woulda, shoulda. But can you imagine if he did beat Floyd Mayweather back, I think he was 23 years old when he fought him, and Floyd was in his mid-30s, you know.
37, I think so.
37, 36, whatever it was, and he was 23. If he would have beat Floyd Mayweather. At that time.
Okay.
How do you think his stardom would be now?
No, like a Michael Jordan of the boxing in Mexico.
That's
definitely.
That's what it would have taken.
Definitely, yeah.
So instead we could call him like the LeBron James, right?
Huh, maybe right now. LeBron
or Kobe
James.
Bryant. Why am I keep making these basketball references?
Man, you know about other sports. I know just about MMA, and that's it.
Before we started the podcast, we were talking about Alexa Grasso, who
yes.
I think is still a little bit underrated. But at 125, she's looking like a true contender. She's a beast, and man, is her striking crisp.
So, again, she's a huge girl. I think 115 for her was very hard, but now in 125 looks better, you know, like looks fresh with more energy in her system, and look explosive with better combinations, with better footwork, and obviously I want to see her next fight because he looks impressive in 125.
Yeah, she definitely does. Who do you think makes sense?
Oof, I don't know. I want to see the rankings right now. But her last fight against Macy Barber like looks sharp, like yeah. Technical, like.
I was really surprised that for Macy Barber, who came off that reconstructive knee surgery, they put her right to Alexa Grasso. I thought that was a hard fight, and I know where she stands in rankings.
Yeah.
It made sense, but man, that was feeding her to the sharks pretty early on.
Yes, but. You know, you never know about the matchmakers. You never know about the plans of the training camps. The fighter. What they think. Sometimes you think like, it looks like a hard fight, but I think I can beat this girl. You know, I can beat this guy. But you know, yes, definitely, Alexa Grasso is no joke.
Yes.
Well, speaking of fights and great fights, I mean, you're coming off that amazing fight of the night.
Yep.
And one of the best fights of 2020, and your rematch right around the corner, UFC 263. How's training and everything going?
So right now it's like 5 weeks, I think so. I don't know. Right now I feel tired because I think right now is the peak of my training camp. I'm like very sore, my body very, very heavy, but I feel impressed. I feel amazing. The sparring sessions, I look sharp. I feel really good. My conditioning, for example, a lot of people talk about the fifth round, like looks like both guys very tired, him and I. And at least for me, I was very like sore of my left arm. So I tried to pick at the best move in that moment, you know. But I'm still working my conditioning. My cardio is on some point. My striking is on point. My Brazilian jiu-jitsu, my wrestling. You know, obviously, everything you talk about, too much stuff. But it's at least I feel like a real fight right now. Like I can be champion in the next fight. Last fight was hard for both because just 3 weeks for preparation to try to make a game plan, to try to make something special for that fight. But right now, for me, it's amazing because I have a real training camp, a real game plan for him. He's strong, but I'm a kid from Mexico, and I have heart, definitely.
I apologize at the beginning. I was saying to UFC 262 and you. We head there tomorrow for Houston. That's UFC 262. You're UFC 263. And we had you on the podcast right before you fought him towards the end of last year. But I was curious to get your thoughts because after the fight came out, I heard kind of excuses on his end, on his side. You know, he wasn't at his best. He wasn't feeling good the night before and everything like that. When you heard that, how did you feel about all of that?
What's weird, awkward maybe. I'm trying to stay focused in what happened in that fight. You know, after a fight like that, you try to make a lot of excuses, to be honest. I was in the hospital before in other fights. I won, I lost fights, but it is what it is. He took the decision to go to the fight, you know? And it's hard for him because before that fight, everybody talks about Figueiredo like a god, like this guy, bully guy, strong guy, powerful, with a lot of power in both hands. But then come this skinny Mexican kid from Mexico. Everybody say, hey, this guy is the underdog. This guy will lose in the first round, blah, blah, blah. But I show the world I'm real, you know? I'm real in the flyweight division. And was a lot of things to swallow for him.
Well, after hearing what people were saying about him and then being in there with him afterwards, was there anything that surprised you at all?
No. I mean, he's durable. He supports damage too. He's real. He's a real athlete. That's why he's the champion, you know? He has power in especially in his right hand. But I was surprised, not for him, but I mean, I know, yes, for him, because he's a human like us guys, you know? Like, he's not a god, he's not special. I can beat him, you know? He's beatable.
I feel like you definitely have a lot more confidence in yourself, especially after going through the battle that you had with him now and getting a second crack. This is the best, would you say, you felt confidence-wise as a MMA fighter?
Man, for example, the last fight, the game plan, we make a game plan in, you know, 3 weeks. But the game plan was like, be very careful, try to get the counter in the fight, between the fight, and, you know, take care of his right hand. But now I felt his power. I know what he put in the table, and I know I can make damage, you know? I know I can be aggressive with him. He has the habit to be aggressive, you know, to be a bully, put pressure on his opponents. But now I know I can be that guy. I can be the bully. I can be the aggressive guy and, you know, put pressure on him.
And off camera, we were just talking about congratulations on buying a home here.
Oh, thank you.
So how have you been kind of splitting time for your training? Like, how has that been working?
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much. That changed my life too much. Obviously, not just for me, for my wife, my three daughters. And so before my official training camp, I was like 1 week in Tijuana, 1 week in Vegas. Tijuana is very close from here. It's like four or five hours driving, so it's nothing really bad. And I love to drive. I love that moment when you're in the road with the music, you know.
Yeah, it's therapeutic, right, David?
Yeah,
we just drove to.
But sitting down for such a long time in a car, I mean, don't you feel that in your hips? You know, your psoas, like, don't you feel all those muscles tighten up?
I don't know. Right now, I'm very young. Maybe if you do ask me that in 10 more years, maybe I can change my answer.
Listen, I'm pretty young too, but what I feel like. When I hit 30, I'm feeling muscle aches I never felt before. And I cannot sit down in a plane or in a car for more than an hour without really feeling it.
You never know. You know, different kind of bodies. You know, right now I'm young. I'm an athlete, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's your secret? Because you need to teach them how to take better care of, like, your back. And
I stretch. We stretch, but it doesn't matter. Yeah.
I don't know, man. So yes, before was that, you know, one week here, 1 week in Tijuana. But right now, the last month, for example, I was in Tijuana to start my official training camp. I was 1 month there, and now I'm here in Vegas to finish my training camp and then go to Glendale.
And how much do you utilize the UFC Performance Institute? I mean, are you there every day? Are you there multiple times a week? What's it like scheduling there?
I mean, I try to take advantage of the PT, you know, too much. Sometimes it's not a serious injury, but, you know, it's uncomfortable. You need to train with pain, and it's not the best way to be a better fighter. So I try to take advantage of that. I'm trying to take advantage of the strength and conditioning there. And I'm in the PI, like, once a day, you know, for PT, for strength and conditioning. Depends the day.
I mean, you got to get the extra benefit too, because you also do the broadcast on the Spanish channel too. So as a broadcaster that. And yep. An athlete, they got to give you some special treatment.
Man, everybody loves me there. No. I mean, I'm trying to be a nice guy with everybody, you know, with the guys from PT, from the guys from the in the front desks. So I have a really good and special relation with everybody there in the PI, and in the Apex is the same. You know, I love to be there.
So on your fight card, if you're familiar with it, for UFC 263, who are you most excited to see, or that's a part of the fight experience with you? Is there a fighter or a fight that you're looking at?
Israel and against Marvin Vettori, definitely for me. You know, I have too much respect for both. You know, Israel Adesanya is a special human being, and Marvin Vettori, I think, is this guy always an underdog, but he always win. So I want to see the rematch. You know, the last fight was very close. You know,
would you say that Marvin has challenged him more than anybody else in the middleweight division, or maybe it's Calvin, or is it?
Yeah. That was a good fight, too.
To me, it's between those two. Who's challenged Israel the most so far in his UFC career?
I think, yes. I think, man, maybe it's between these both guys. You know, it's Marvin Vettori or Calvin Gastelum, definitely. But I think Calvin.
See, if Calvin would have beat Robert Whittaker, so they both trained at the same gym at King's MMA, yeah. I would have wondered what the hell they were going to do, what Coach Rafael Cordero was going to do, who was going to get the title shot first. Would it have been Calvin? Would it have been Marvin? How do you handle that situation?
And more in that kind of gyms, because everybody there is very close, you know. Yeah. For example, it's different in American Top Team. You know, they have his own plan and training separate. But in Kings, it's like a family. I don't know, man. Thanks God I'm not a coach there.
It's funny you said Top Team, too. We were there recently. I don't know, with Kayla Harrison and her come up with the PFL and Amanda Nunes and both of them establishing themselves as the greatest female athlete on the planet Earth. Like, they're inevitably going to clash someday. It has to happen.
Yes,
that's gonna be awkward.
Man, it's crazy. It's very awkward. And I want to go and train in American Top Team one day, you know, because I know there's a lot of really good guys there. But at the same time, it's not a place I want to be there, you know. Maybe you need to train with your opponent, you know. So I don't know. It's not my kind of place, but I have too much respect for that kind of place, because make really strong guys, you know, like his mindset, they need to be really hard, because it's a hard situation.
For sure.
Absolutely. But kind of circling back to Israel and Marvin, that rematch, who do you think wins that?
I don't know. It's hard. Obviously, I'm trying to make neutral decision about that. Israel looks better and better every single fight, and Marvin Vettori looks like a strong and real middleweight fighter. I think Israel Adesanya win again, but, you know, Marvin Vettori can shock the world. You never know.
So what about the excitement, the return of Nate Diaz, Leon Edwards? Pivotal fight in the welterweight division.
Man, that fight, I think, put more eyes in our event, and that helped so much to me, to all the guys in the main event, in all the card in general. Nate Diaz, man, it's like roller coaster for the career of Nate Diaz. You know, he fought, his last fight was in 2019, I think, so, against Jorge Masvidal, and then he stopped to fight And Leon Edwards come from the fight against Belal Muhammad. I think he's the real challenger for the title right now. But you know, it's again this thing with the matchmakers with the UFC. It's hard for him. It's hard for his situation because he deserves to be the next title challenger.
Well, a lot of fans are also waiting for Nick Diaz's return, okay. Right? And didn't you tell or ask Dana?
So when Nick Diaz was at Jacksonville at UFC 261, okay. Dana came out for the post-fight press conference. I don't know. I was just off a whim. I was in my yellow glasses, the schmo character. And I'm like, hey, what about Khamzat Chimaev? And Dana's, I'm like, is that crazy about that? Dana's like, you know what? I'm going to talk to him back there. You know, why not? That's plausible. So then I think those two got linked. And then Nate Diaz's management, his manager, they turned that fight down. I think Hamza is going to end up fighting Neil Magny. I just see that happening. Yeah. Neil's going to do that.
Yeah, and Neil won last weekend.
Did you broadcast for that? No.
Okay. I was in the house of Jason House, my manager.
Canelo.
Watching the fights and then the Canelo fight. But no, my turn is next event, this Saturday, 262, and then in May 22.
So do you do that broadcast from the Apex or do you go to Houston?
No. We're not. I need to be John Anik. I need to be Joe Rogan to be there. So one day. No, from the Apex, definitely.
From the Apex, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, every time you're broadcasting, at least what I noticed when we're also in the Apex, I can hear you. You're very animated.
Of course.
In a great way.
In Spanish.
Like, you're a great broadcaster.
Thank you. You know, it's different. You know, in English, I'm trying to make my words make sense in my words. You know, it's hard for me because it's not my original language. But in Spanish, I feel like very comfortable. And I have almost four years in the broadcast in Spanish. So, I feel very, very comfortable now.
Is it easier for you to watch from your seat and watch the octagon or watch the monitors they put in front of you? Or do you do both?
It's hard because the octagon is in your back, you know?
You don't turn around?
No.
Okay.
Sometimes when the fight is very special, I don't care the monitor. I'm watching the octagon. But always, the most part of the time, I'm watching the monitor.
Well, you always hear some fighters who are also broadcasters say that it helps them or makes them notice little things when they, you know, broadcast other fighters. But for you, like, do you notice that helps you at all in your fight game?
So I'm trying to watch a lot of fights. It's crazy because I really have a really good memory. But if something is very hard, definitely I take note of that. But the production helped me too much with all the information and everything, and helps too much. I'm a real fighter, a real fan of this sport, and you know, I'm watching fights every single weekend, so I know the most part of the fighters.
What's been your favorite fight or knockout this year so far?
Rose, definitely. Yeah. For me, it's Rose. I don't know why, but I feel like my own victory. Like, she makes like every single people in the crowd makes like some, like, how is it,
goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a special moment. We were there cage side when Rose shook everybody. But I feel like Corey Sanhagen's flying knee over Frank Yeager, that's just going to be, as time progresses, people are going to forget about it. It cannot be overlooked. To me, that is the best knockout so far.
No, yeah, because it was very technical, was like elegant movement. So, but you know, like, I don't know, maybe it was the moment with all the crowd again. Rose, very emotional, you know, made me feel like emotional too.
It was crazy to be there, and that's why we're excited. So we fly tomorrow to Houston for 262, okay. And just the crowd in Jacksonville, it was electric. Didn't miss a beat. Loved every moment of it. You could get the highs and lows from the Chris Weidman breaking his leg, the irony, just doing it like Anderson Silva, and then to Rose's victory, to Usman knocking out Masvidal getting knocked out for the first time. I mean, in his career, that was crazy.
Man, it was crazy. And actually, I remember that moment with Chris Weidman. I felt actually like sad, you know, like, I feel like bad. Like, man, we need to win more money in this sport because this is so dangerous. You always forget that. You never think that can happen in a fight. But, man, That happened.
He's not in the clear yet, too, because he's got metal rods putting his bones together, okay. And they're going to see how this heals over time. Like, there's a chance he never walks normally or he never gets the fight. They just don't know with the nerve and everything like that. You just got to pray for him. And, man, the medical bills got to be so extreme for this.
Man, I think UFC will help on that because, yes, and more here in the United States, everything is so expensive here. So, yes, man.
From the onset of it, I think Dana had a private plane for him and his family to bring him back home.
Yes, or
South Carolina. So at least they got in front of it from the get-go and keep that care going. But Chris Weidman, such an ambassador for the sport, I think a Hall of Famer for sure.
Ah, yes.
It's like you got to take care of him. You got it.
You know, he went to the belt, you know, undefeated, beat Anderson Silva the first time. Yeah, definitely he's a Hall of Famer in the future.
Yeah.
But are you excited for the return of fans? Speaking of Jacksonville and 261.
Yes, I think everything changed with the people. You know, makes UFC 261 like a special moment since the first fight with the women's until the fight between Kamaru and Masvidal. I don't know. It was a special moment with all these people screaming all the time. I'm excited for that.
I am too. With 262, Tony Ferguson, Beneil Dariush, Michael Chandler, Charles Oliveira.
That's
how do you see these two fights playing out? Let's start with Tony Ferguson and Beneil Dariush.
Tony Ferguson, I think, is his last chance to go again for something good in the division. But it's a hard fight because Beneil Dariush is always an underdog, but he's amazing. His last loss was against Alexander Hernandez in 2018, I think so, something like that. But from that loss to this time, he's undefeated. He won all his fights and now has the opportunity to fight against Tony Ferguson and get that name in his record. So it's an important fight for the lightweight division.
What about the other important fight for the lightweight division? Michael Chandler, Charles Oliveira?
Michael Chandler. I think it's hard for all those guys in the lightweight division because remember Tony Ferguson was like 11-0 and or 12-0 and he never get the opportunity for the real title. I don't know, Max Holloway in the featherweight division, like 10-0, something like that, until the fight for the title. Khabib, you know, 9-0, 10-0, something like that, and then go for the title. But Michael Chandler, just one fight, an amazing fight, an amazing performance, and get the title. It's hard. Obviously, Dustin Poirier took the fight against Conor McGregor, and that's why I think the opportunity was for Michael Chandler. But Justin Gaethje was there.
But he's also coming off the loss. So you're going to have someone coming off the loss fighting for the title? True, against Khabib. But you're going to have someone coming off a loss fighting for the title. But I agree with what you just said, though. I mean, it was Dustin Poirier's, and he turned it down for the big payday for McGregor. Talk about a guy who's betting on himself to win that fight for the trilogy and then automatically fighting for the title.
Man, it's the real deal, you know? Money, belt, everything. So, Michael Chandler is an amazing fighter since his fights in Bellator to this fight against Dan Hooker. And then, Charles Oliveira is another fighter. He's another different athlete with a better stand-up, with better, you know, better striking. Undefeated since 2018. And I love this Charles Oliveira because I think his Brazilian jiu-jitsu is amazing, but now he's a better athlete, a mixed martial artist, because his stand-up is better now.
I was so impressed what he did to Tony Ferguson.
I know.
Striking, control on the ground, amazing.
But whose back is up against the wall more, Conor McGregor's or Tony Ferguson's with a loss?
Oh, good question. I mean, I think everybody's think the same with Conor McGregor. He has too much money. He doesn't want to wake up early in the morning because everything is kind of easy for him in the sport. you know, I think in the sport. But you never know. I mean, the talent is there, you know. Conor McGregor is a real fighter. Just right now, his training, his discipline is not the necessary for all these guys, really hungry guys in the lightweight division, you know.
I think that's what it comes down to, too. That's what people are questioning. Because in his Q&A, he said he's going to leave his family behind. He's going to be, I don't want to misquote it, the lone wolf. Or he'll go out there and, you know, get that mindset back. But what, he just sold his share with Proper 12, $600 million. The guy's got all the money he ever needs. He's got his family set up, generations worth of wealth. The question comes down to, what is the real motivation? What does he have left to fight for? He's already been the champ. He's got the legacy, surefire Hall of Famer. Like, do you feel like, as a fighter, because you know, like, there's a purpose you have to fight for, can you get that back if you lose it?
I don't know. Like, for example, all the champ guys, they try to put new goals in their careers. You know, like, I'm a champion, so I need to defend my title, or I want to get the next title, or I don't know, you know. But the thing is, they try to stay disciplined and stay focused in the sport. But, you know, I mean, with McGregor, like you say, it's too much money, different kind of sponsors and brands, like, the whiskey. Man, he was a champ too. The first one, I think so. No? Yes, I think so. So, man, it's hard for him to get some inspiration in the morning, you know, and go to the gym and work very hard. For me, I mean, I don't have. I know it's weird. Obviously, I have too much stuff, but I really think when I go to the gym, I don't have nothing. I'm one more guy in this gym. I don't have nothing, and I need to work very hard because all other guys in the division are trying to kill me, you know. So that's why I go to the gym and work very hard every single morning.
But if you are in Conor's shoes, like, what can you do to kind of block everything out and try to get that hunger back?
I don't know. I want to be honest with you. I don't know, you know, because, for example, again, Canelo Alvarez is other sport, but it's a sport, you know. Mm-hmm. It's boxing. It's a hard sport. He has everything, you know. He has everything, but he's still focused. He's still very focused in the gym, always in the gym, working with Andy Ruiz, with Ryan Garcia, working in himself. And I love his discipline, even in this level, you know, even when he has too much money in the bank, in his account. So, I don't know, Conor McGregor, he was very poor before. Now he's rich, but it's the same like Canelo. He was very, very poor in Guadalajara before. I don't know, obviously, I'm working so hard to be in that kind of level, and we can come again in this podcast and talk when I have that kind of money and talk about the inspiration and,
hey, man,
and discipline.
Hey, things change when you wear a gold strap.
Yeah,
they change.
Yes.
You get a lot of people calling your name. You got people knocking on your door for things.
Yes.
Kissing babies.
Friends you haven't heard of from 20
man.
Years ago.
What's up? Nice to see you again. I understand. I understand that.
Comes with the territory for sure. Yeah. I just noticed, by the way, you got the Reebok shirt on. You don't have the Venom kit. You're going to get it a couple weeks from now.
Not yet. You
excited
know?
For that.
Actually, I have too much stuff from Reebok, you know. I need to fight.
What do you think of the Venom kits?
I love it. It's nice. Yeah. You know, it's a nice style. I was talking with different fighters in the PI, in Extreme, and talking about the brand. And a lot of guys love the brand and other guys not. But for me, it's nice. Like, it's like a Power Rangers. I feel like I'm my
Of course.
Kit.
It fits nice and well. And we got the big ticket rolling through the door.
Yeah.
He's come right on in. Come right on
right
in.
Right on time.
I'm sorry, man. Oh. We got headphones right over there. Right over there for you.
I think, did you walk past?
No, I drove past, turned around, had to go all the way back to U-turn.
Oh, that was your car that was speeding. I'm just kidding.
You can move these around too. Well, welcome, man. Welcome to the new Schmo Zone studio we've been building. We've been under the radar. You can move these things around too, as long as you want.
Yeah, I'm good right here.
We started the podcast. I know you guys were watching the Canelo fight together too, and I was saying to him, like, in Mexico, is he the Michael Jordan? Is he the LeBron? The Kobe? Like, where does he stack up in the all-time athletes? That's how I started this thing out. But what'd you make of Canelo's performance?
I mean, it was. I expected it. I thought Billy Joe performed really well. He just made one mistake, and Canelo's the type of guy. He reads and reads and reads, and then he capitalizes, bro. He's got another gear. And when he goes, and it's dangerous.
And some people were kind of questioning the stoppage, right?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly agreed with it just because finding out after he does have a couple fractures.
Yeah.
And as a fighter, your eyes are the most important thing, especially the way Billy fights. So if he comes out there with one left eye or his left eye gone, that right hand is going to be monstrous, and it could probably hurt him a lot worse. So I thought it was a good stoppage. His coach did the right thing.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And do you think Caleb Plant, obviously, next for him?
For me, I want to see it because I'm a Southern boy and Caleb's from Tennessee, so I'm excited. You know, I followed Caleb's career and watched him. Does he have enough to beat Canelo? I don't think so, man. I think Canelo, he is, for me, probably the Michael Jordan of box. He's a pound-for-pound best right now.
And then we're saying, too, could you imagine if he would have beaten Floyd? Like, he was 23 years old. Floyd was 36, 37 years old.
Yeah.
How would we be talking about Canelo Alvarez and the boxing all-time greats if he would have beat Floyd
that
time?
He'd definitely probably be the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Well, you're a heavyweight. Let's go. We start circling and talking about all these fights. I think Dana White broke some news today. He talked to, Brad. He talked to Aaron. Yeah. It seems like Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou 2, is going to be the next fight. John Jones, it hasn't worked out yet. Man, what do you make of this whole situation, the financial side of things like that, and how do you feel as a heavyweight in this division?
I mean, for me, it was kind of – not to say John doesn't deserve it. You know, it's a mega fight, you know what I mean? But, you know, you got guys in line that have been clamoring for an opportunity, you know, and then he comes in and gets it. If he, you know, would have gotten the fight, trust me, they can have all my money. You know what I mean? I want to see it. But I think Derek deserves it. I think it's going to be a barn burner for sure this time because they know each other. They fought, you know. So it's not going to be that fear thing and that, you know, where they're worried about the power. I think Derek's going to go in there and lay it on the line. If he gets knocked out, he gets knocked out. But you only get one shot, you know what I mean? So go in there and make it happen.
So we're not going to see anything like the first fight.
I pray to God we don't. I think that was respect, you know?
Man, yes, I understand. I mean, I think they have the opportunity to make a different fight. They know that fight was very boring. You know?
Super boring.
But right now, I think Francis Ngannou is a better fighter with better cardio, with better footwork. He's a little bit more explosive, not just the hard punch. And Derek Lewis, you know, is a machine too.
Yeah, for sure.
And you've been at Extreme Couture working mm-hmm. with Coach Eric Nixick. Did you run into Francis by any chance?
Yeah, I mean, I saw him before he left for Africa. I'm actually house sitting for him.
You're staying at Francis' house.
Yeah, I'm house sitting for him.
There it is.
Yeah, they're actually coming to renovate tomorrow morning. He's gutting the whole thing. It's crazy. He's got a nice crib. So, yeah, that was a blessing for me coming out here, you know, on a whim. Not really. I stayed in the hotel the first couple of days. And then Francis was like, look, you can stay here. This is your house, whatever you need. You know, you want to wear my gear and all that. I'm like, damn, dog, you know, like, I appreciate it. You know, I got my stuff, but, you know, I just need a place to sleep. He's a good man, dude. So, you know, he's somebody I've always rooted for. Always admired how hard he worked in his story. So, you know, I'm really close to that situation because I'm very close with Eric Nixick. I actually did the breakdown for their fight, the fight with Stipe, and I called it to a T. Just from being in the gym and knowing how Eric is with Francis and how hard Francis works, I knew that it would be a different fight and he'd get the win this time. So it's kind of cool.
So is Extreme Couture the new home? Are you just out here for a little bit? How did this all come about?
I'm bouncing it around. You know, being in Birmingham, you know, it's good in between fights, but getting ready for big fights, you need those big bodies, you need that experience, and you need to get tested in the gym. I'm one of those guys, I want to lose in the gym. I'd rather lose in the gym than lose in the fight, you know what I mean? So I'd rather have tough goals every day, push myself, and that kind of is how it came about. I called Eric – like 2 weeks before I came out, and I was like, hey, bro, I know you just won a belt. and you're a busy man, but if you can make some room for me, I'd love to come out. And he's like, anything for you. So just I packed my bags and I flew out.
Yeah, I've seen your posts and you seem to really enjoy it there. So what has that experience been like so far?
It's been life-changing, honestly. It's gotten me back to the old me. You know, they had labeled me the contract killer for a while, and that guy went away the last two fights, you know, with all the stuff I was dealing with. But now I found that again. I found myself again. I found my passion for the sport again. You know, I'm training. And then being away from home, it gives you an extra added edge. You know what I mean? You don't get to do the routine and, you know, see the kids and all those things that make you hungry. So I think being at that gym has just been phenomenal for me. Just every day I can feel myself getting better. So it's exciting.
Yeah, we're excited too. You got Marcin Tybura.
For sure.
I mean, I think he looked pretty impressive against Greg Hardy pretty recently too. It's what do you make of this matchup?
It's going to be a tough fight, but I'm up for the challenge. You know, I feel like I can compete with anybody in the division, especially when I'm in my right mind and I'm on my game. So I'm looking to finish him in the first round, get back in there ASAP. You know what I mean? Try to stay as active as possible.
Maybe even the Francis versus Derek too. Maybe that card. That you get a finish in June and then.
Fire. I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
I wanted to circle back to that though, because let's say, just hypothetically speaking, Derek Lewis beats Francis Ngannou. What does that mean for John Jones? Does he lose like a lot of leverage in the financial side of the negotiation table if it's John Jones, Derek Lewis, rather than John Jones and Francis Ngannou?
I think he loses a little bit, but the danger's still there. You know what I mean? And it depends on how Derek wins that fight. If he puts Francis away dramatically, that everybody would want to see him go against John, because we've never seen John be tested with that kind of power. You know what I mean? So I think that'd be pretty good.
It's very similar, like the fight between Israel Adesanya and Yama Horix, you know? Obviously, Israel Adesanya in 185 looks like very sharp, fast, but when you go to other... division is another kind of power.
Let's talk about that light heavyweight division. Like, Jiří Prochazka looks super, super amazing. Yeah. Like, we've seen him at Fight Island. Now we see him here. Two fights in the UFC now, and now everyone's talking about automatically he could be fighting for the title. But obviously, Glover Teixeira, he's got next in line. But I think a guy that's being a little overlooked, though, is right there in the rankings, and he dropped one, is Alexander Rakic. I think Rakic and Prochazka, that's the fight to make. Yes. Winner that fight gets the fight for the title.
I agree.
Man, I think... this guy, Jiří, make another kind of air in the division, you know? Like, he's unorthodox, very explosive. He throw a lot of the different kind of special stuff, you know, elbows, knees, everything. You know, his hair is crazy. So, man, that fight against Dominic Reyes was impressive. Because what's domination? Yeah. What's domination, definitely.
So we're talking about the highlights and the knockouts. That spinning back elbow, that's right up there, too. That's top three, four finishes of the...
Unbelievable.
There,
Unbelievable.
It's there. What's your best finish so far of 2021?
2021, I haven't had one yet. I han't even had a fight in 2021. But that one, for sure.
He chose Rose. I'm saying that
over
Corey
Sanhagen?
Sanhagen with the flying knee.
Sanhagen is a 1B for me. Like, okay. Jiří Prochazka, that he threw two elbows, bro.
Yeah.
It was just like, and then for me, it was just his energy. Like, the dude doesn't get tired, bro. Like, he just is in your, he's a storm. You know what I mean? And that was perfect. He picked the right moment, the right time, and made the right technique.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's 1A. And then, you know, old saying, man, you're 1B, dog. I still love you.
It's fair.
Now, I just want to circle back to that heavyweight title fight. You said you called the Francis Stipe fight to a T.
Second round KO. I called it.
So, what about Francis versus Derek, too?
Don't do me like that.
Yeah, I got it. On the show, though.
All right. This is what I think. Francis finishes Derek. If he comes into the fight, the patient Francis is freaky scary. Like, the technical, just wait for the right moment, defend the takedown, and still be able to knock you out, Francis, is dangerous. I've grappled with this man, and it's like grappling this wall right here. Like, if he can continue to be poised and not use his energy and use it wisely, like he did in the fight with Stipe, come on, man.
When he took Stipe's back, when he defended the takedown, took Stipe's back, I'm like, oh, my
bro,
God, that's it.
I'm telling you, that is exactly what I said he had to do. He had to sprawl. He had to maintain and then get back to his feet and conserve his energy, and he did it perfectly, man.
Man, that moment where he defended takedown, take the back of Stipe, I say, like, man, Stipe has a real problem here, you know? Yeah. Damn it, what's crazy?
But Stipe wants his belt back. What does Stipe have to do? I mean, if any guy is deserving of a rematch in life at that division, it's Stipe. What do you do next for Stipe as I drop the water? What's next for Stipe?
I think so I read on his Instagram somewhere that he's bulking up. I don't know how that's going to affect him.
Yeah, I saw that.
I feel like it could potentially slow him down, but it could help him in the grappling. You know, his cardio, I think, will always be there. You know, I definitely think he deserves a rematch. I feel like if anybody, like you said, deserved it, it's him. John shouldn't have been able to just come in and jump and get that big mega fight. He needs to at least defend the title against Stipe, and then if he beats Stipe again, then John comes in. You know, I think that makes more sense.
I asked this question to the assassin, babe. I got to ask it to you, too. Whose back is up against the wall more next, Conor McGregor or Tony Ferguson?
Ooh, for me, I believe it's Conor. Just because the way he lost to Dustin last fight, and if he gets dominated again in that fashion, I mean, really, what else is he going to be doing? You know what I mean?
Boxing Jake Paul?
That makes more sense. You know what I mean? I feel like Tony, he's so different, and he can win so many different ways. I think he's more exciting, honestly. For me as a fan, I think I would rather see Tony keep matriculating and win his next fight and then see what happens in that division for him. With Conor, it's like, all right, if you beat him, yeah, it'll be interesting. But if you lose, what are you going to go back down and come back up?
Nate Diaz trilogy fights? Well, I mean.
And he was talking about wanting to go up to 170.
No, come on.
Who's going to beat Usman?
He said it.
No,
is he going to beat Usman at 170?
He's going to beat Usman. No, I don't think so.
I didn't say. I'm just.
No, so. Yeah. No.
He said too much stuff.
Yeah.
He's knocking people out now.
And if Izzy does lose to Vittori, Usman's going to jump up to middleweight. Middleweight. He'd fight at middleweight.
He's going for the belt from Vittori.
For the belt,
right?
If Vittori wins. Ali said he would fight at middleweight. He said that when the Schmo interviewed him.
Okay.
If Izzy doesn't hold the belt, which is interesting.
For me, I guess that makes sense, you know, because he don't want to fight Izzy. They're boys, so, like, it doesn't make sense. Vittori would be more interesting to get the belt from him, and I see it. It makes sense business-wise. So, and Ali's a super, super business dude. So,
and then to be honest, in 170 right now, Kamaru Usman don't have too much really opponents. Rematch against Colby, but Leon Edwards maybe.
Yeah, Colby, but, and then if Leon,
that's the one I want to see. I think Leon deserves.
Well, Leon fought him 2015 or 16? I know it was a long time ago.
Yes.
But now we're at the point with Usman where he's fighting guys again a second time. I mean, he started that with Masvidal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a situation where you can make a case for a lot of these guys. But I get from the standpoint that he only beat Woodley, right, Colby, since that fight with mm-hmm. Usman. And Leon Edwards got a fight finally. I mean, it took a couple of years. And then obviously the eye poke with Bilal Muhammad.
But then also you can make the argument where Jorge Masvidal, who did he fight after? Their first fight.
Well, that's why he had the short notice coming up there type of situation. So he felt like Usman.
Let me get a full camp.
Let me get a full camp and let me prove my point there. But there it is.
I think he deserved that. Masvidal is must-see TV, man. Like, if I'm a matchmaker, I'm like, yeah, you can get it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's a favorite of the people, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. For sure. And then, so we leave for Houston tomorrow morning, UFC 262.
How pumped are you, man?
I'm so pumped.
You're living the life. You and Helen, man. It's crazy.
Can I say something? No, we struck out mightily hard a few days ago.
No.
We went on a whim. I'm going to give a behind-the-scenes story. We drove 8.5 hours to Jackson Wink, to New Mexico.
We
split the drive. She drove half, I drove half. We were in hopes to get John Jones. He didn't show up to the gym.
We were going to hunt him
down. We failed. And I was coming off of a high because I just interviewed the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury, before he left for Dallas for the Billy Joe Canelo. I know. We'll
shout
get
out
to that.
Tyson.
So charismatic.
Love that guy.
Joshua, what the heck's going on? Yeah. And then Deontay Wilder's back training again.
Dude.
So we struck out with John Jones mightily. I wanted to talk to him and everything like that. We both did. And so We failed. We didn't. We went.
But
there.
It was a fun road trip. I'm sure.
Sometimes. We learned a lot more about each other.
Do you know what I found out too? We just brought us in Yuri Prozhaka. He trained at one point at Jackson Wink.
You failed, guys, but now you go to Houston.
Yeah.
Go to Houston. We'll try to make things happen again. Okay. But so I really wanted to talk to John because I wanted to find out what that bottom line number is, because he denies the $30 million, which I believe. I don't think he threw out the number $30 million, but is it closer to $10 million? Is it closer to $20 million? What is that number that he wants?
I think it's closer to $10. If I was him, I'd say $10. I mean, Francis is a freak. And then you got to look at, it's his first fight at heavyweight. So he's doing an extra amount of work to bulk, and he's training his ass off. So it's like, I mean, I think he's worth it. I think he's done enough to command at least 10 or 15. You know
I think
I mean?
They could sell out Raider Stadium.
For sure. Like, that fight is going to sell probably more than any fight in the UFC history, in my personal opinion.
Wow.
You know, that's just what I think. I could be wrong.
Canelo, Billy Joe Saunders at Jerry World, AT&T, 73,000. Yeah. That was 73,000.
Yeah. I mean,
That is the problem with Jon Jones. I mean, Dana White say that he don't sell too much tickets. I mean, he sell tickets, obviously. He's amazing. But not the necessary or not enough to be a needle mover. You know?
I think this one he'll move the needle. Because, I mean, you got to look at it from a standpoint. People want to either see you win or lose. And you got
this
John lovers,
fight.
You got
yes.
John haters. And now the sport is at a point where you put that on a marquee, the casual of the most casual is going to pay for it.
That is
you know
a good
what I mean?
Point.
And so I think that they can make up that 10 to 15 million.
I mean, the people right now want to go outside of his house, definitely. Yeah.
I
want to
see it.
That is a
I'm
good
not
point.
Even going to lie. It's my credit card.
Yeah. No, we want to as well. We want to as well.
Well, do you think John would beat Francis? No.
I don't. And that's just, personally, I'm a John fanatic. But I'm a realist, and he gets hit a lot lately, especially. And I don't think he can take those punches. Like, if Francis is, like I said, this new and improved guy that we saw against Stipe, one of those is just going to be damaging, you know what I mean? And if he can't take Francis down, it's a long night, you know what I mean? I just feel like Francis could win that fight.
It's a different kind of power, you know?
Yeah.
And the last fights of Jon Jones, he looks, I mean, he won the fights, but looks a little different, not really dominant like before, you know? Mm-hmm. And now Francis Ngannou is in another level. Yeah. Warrior, he's amazing. I think, you know, it's not a really good stage for Jon Jones.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that Derek or John, like which one of the two possesses a bigger threat to Francis?
Oh, Derek. Yeah. I mean, because he can end the fight with one punch. As we saw, you know, against Curtis Blaydes. I mean, he threw a half-ass uppercut and the man just died. You know what I mean? Like, he's got freaky power. So, you know, it'll be one of those things of who lands first and how they deal with it with him and Francis, you know.
So I brought up Tyson Fury before. We've talked about this before during the Deontay Wilder fights, the first one, the second one. So, you know, he was victorious. Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, we are still waiting for that fight. If Tyson Fury beats Anthony Joshua, assuming that fight gets made, where does he rank in the all-time greats for boxing?
I think he's up there. I can't say Ali's the greatest. Like, that man is just different, you know what I mean? But I think in this era, Tyson Fury will be the one we talk about. You know, he's went through the gauntlet of what was supposed to be the best heavyweight. So if he dominates Anthony Joshua like I think he will, he'll be definitely this era's greatest heavyweight.
No losses. Obviously, he's got the tie with Deontay Wilder, but no losses. Mm-hmm. And beating Klitschko, heavyweight champion.
If he beat Deontay, who was everybody was afraid of, if he beats Joshua, who everybody thinks is like, you know, in Europe at least, is a god, you know, that's like, come on. And then to see where he came back from, you know what I mean? Just a couple of years ago, the man was like 400 pounds, you know what I mean? So I just got to put him up there.
But you're a big guy. You're like, what, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah.
Tyson Fury, 6'7". Have we seen, and I know Ali's big, but have we seen a heavyweight move like Tyson
No.
Fury? with that type of footwork, and he's so awkward.
He's awkward.
But it's like you put him in the ring with Ali. I know these are so hypotheticals. Mm-hmm. It's like you put him against the best of the best. Are you betting against Tyson Fury?
Against Ali in his prime, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, hell, Tyson did the lean on the ropes, and Ali made it look – I mean, the punches that Ali dodged, he dodged about 30. Okay. Tyson probably got 4 or 5 and then made it look cool and stuck his tongue out. Ali created all that, you know what I mean? So, like, I feel like Ali in his prime for sure.
Yeah, I feel like that's the Michael Jordan, LeBron James argument there.
For sure.
You're taking the student, the mentor, the
pro. Apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. I don't know too much about boxing, you know. I just know about the famous guys. Obviously, Tyson Fury is an amazing fighter. After the fight against Deontay Wilder, makes another different kind of level. I want to see the fight against this Joshua.
Can't wait for
that. Can't wait.
It's in a good fight because both guys are really good.
I gotta give the big ticket though credit where credit's due, because last year's championship, because we haven't talked in a little bit about this, you predicted the Lakers to win. I know it was even before the pandemic, the bubble and everything. I picked the Clippers. I was wrong. Lakers are what, 7th seed right now? They did just win. Anthony Davis went off. Yeah. Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns. The Lakers gonna win it again this year?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I'm worried about them. I mean, LeBron, I don't know if LeBron's playing it up for the media, you know, the ankle thing, but if he's not 100%, I don't think he can make it all. I mean, he's got to slow down at some point, right? You know what I mean? And, like, all the other teams are loading up to deal with them, and if AD's not 100%, I mean, what are they going to do? I think Dennis Schroeder's out for the season, so it's like, we don't know.
Who do you like?
That's a tough one. I mean, it's up in the air, man, to be honest. I think with the play-in system, that makes it a little bit more dangerous because, you know, if you have an off night, it's adios. So, I don't know. Right now, I'll be 100% honest, I hadn't followed in like a month or two. I haven't watched much TV at all. I kind of switched my whole routine up to get my mind back right. But
that's smart.
I feel like LeBron and them will be in the picture. I think if the Clippers get hot, it'll definitely be them two in the Western Conference Finals. And then the East, God knows, you know, whoever gets hot. So,
yeah.
So last year, did you guys bet money? Like, do you?
We
owe
didn't,
money?
Did we? What did
no.
we bet?
I don't.
I think we just made a friendly wager.
I was about to say.
But to Walt's credit, like I've barely watched basketball this year, to be honest. Like,
dude,
I doubled down.
I can't. I'm like, I get into it a little bit, and then I'm just like, it's so dip. It's soft.
I was just gonna say,
it's so soft. They don't play defense. That's the thing. It's like. I can't fall in love with the sport that I loved as a kid because they're only playing one side of it.
There you
when
go.
These scores are 130 to 127,
dude,
like,
averaging 60 points a game over three, like, it's like, come on, bro. Yeah. Like, Steph Curry, I get it, but like, well, yeah, he's kind of unguardable. The man's shooting from half court, there, but still, the averages are crazy.
That's
you know?
All, I love combat sports now way too much.
Yeah,
it's just,
for sure, for
I'll
sure.
put all of my energy here.
For sure.
And we, I mean, here and there we could talk about it, like have these friendly bets about who's going
to
win.
Yeah,
the
that's just, we're just kind of throwing it off, throwing it to the wall, see what sticks.
Yeah.
But I do like soccer, I will say that. Say football.
Football.
I get yelled at by my English friends. They're like, it's football. All right, football. But yeah, I watch soccer. I kind of, like I said, I toned the TV down about a month or two ago, so I hadn't been keeping up with it either. But Liverpool, once they started going, that's my club. That's who I support. And once Van Dijk got injured, I was just like, yeah, I'm done with soccer. I don't want to watch it no more.
So. Soccer, I agree.
You watch it?
No, before when I was a kid, I loved the Mexican football.
Oh yeah,
football. But now I don't see any
Liga
other
MX.
Sports. Liga MX. Definitely, you know.
Helen was a huge Freddie Adu fan back in the day.
Freddie was good. Yeah. Freddie was good.
See, I told you.
He was good.
She doesn't know that area. You know, guys, I appreciate you hopping on the Schmo Zone. This is
nice.
Our first one in the studio.
Sorry I was late.
It's okay. You had practice, man. You had practice.
We understand.
I'll leave it to you. Final thoughts from the Assassin Baby.
Man. Thank you so much. Thank you to give me the space. You know, it's amazing. And congrats again for the new space. This is nice.
We still got to build out everything. You see the studio, the production room, but there should be
gonna
a couch.
Be a couch. Don't worry.
Been delivered. A whole other thing, a stage. But you guys will come back and you'll
all
recognize
right.
it.
It's a promise.
For sure.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. And you, Big Ticket, what do you got to say?
Congratulations to you both, especially seeing where you came from. Like, dude, it's dope, man, to see you get it out of the mud and have all this, man. So I'm glad, you know, I can see it.
Yeah.
Be a part of it, man, is dope. And then just one, you know, plug, just go check out our nonprofit at AniasHeart22.com. We got it up and running about a year ago for my daughter. It helps people deal with, you know, missing family members. We also do search and recovery. I believe to date we found 10 people. Two were deceased, unfortunately, but we're just trying to be a buffer for people going through what we went through as a family. And y'all go check out the website. You know, if you want to donate, by all means, do it. Every little bit counts. So that's it. Yeah. And June 5th, watch your boy back in action.
100%. You are one of the strongest and best humans we have ever been around.
I appreciate that.
And we will put that link up there. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you, brother.
And, you know, episode 62 of the Schmozone podcast. Already. We are back in action.
I know, finally.
We will continue rolling this out. We are off to Houston tomorrow.
Morning, yeah.
And
safe travels, guys.
Safe travels, guys.
We'll be back.
Enjoy the
I can't
moment.
Wait to see what you're rocking down there.
We'll figure it out. Oh, I actually got a surprise.
Okay.
Yeah, the fans, like, chase him.
Dude, I already know you probably get catch hell. Like, oh, I know. It's crazy.
It's fun. I'd much rather have people do that than not know who I was at all.
Right, and right. That's what you work for. That's
right.
What you work for.
Appreciate that. All right, episode 62. We're out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.